This is a recording of a press conference held May 5, 1964 by Dr. Robert H. Reed in Fairfax, Virginia.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm John Wood, Mayor of the City. I want to thank you all for coming today to this press conference. We are here to unveil what has been referred to as the best-kept secret in Northern Virginia, the Joyce Mason College of the University of Virginia. The Joyce Mason College did not come about as an accident or by happenstance. Many years, much sweat, blood, and tears have gone into the creation of the college here, and it's been the result of the efforts of a great number of people. We hope, as the city of Fairfax, that the George Mason College, within the next 10 years, will grow to the size of the parent university in Charlottesville. Now, that's our hope. We may be even pessimistic about how fast it will grow. I certainly hope so. The role that the city played in this was simply the fact that we recognized the necessity for an institution of higher learning in the Northern Virginia area. With a great deal of eagerness, we finally got into the act. The town at that time, composed of 7,500 people, authorized a bond issue to purchase the land and put in the utilities for this site. The quarterback and the mainspring that I had to rely on during that period of time was a gentleman that you all know and who has recently become the rector of the University of Virginia. And without his help, this college would not have been here at all. And I'd like at this time to introduce the Honorable Charles R. Fenwick, rector of the University of Virginia.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you don't mind, I'm going to sit down and we're going to make this kind of an informal conference. I, too, am very grateful to you people for coming out here today and being with us. We feel that this event is going to make a tremendous impact on the Northern Virginia area. John has been a little generous in his remarks about my part that I played in this. Actually, if it had not been for the fact that the then town of Fairfax issued bonds and purchased this land and made it a present to the Commonwealth of Virginia, we wouldn't have this college here today. It took a lot of courage, and I think they have at the present time over $700,000 invested in this project. Strange part about it is that they all stood for re-election right after and were elected. So apparently what they did must have had the support of the community. We're particularly pleased with this site because it's about the center of population. It's an easy commuting distance of Loudoun County, Fauquier County, Prince William County, in Fairfax County, and of course, easy commuting distance from Alexandria, City of Falls Church, Arlington County. The atmosphere of Fairfax Courthouse has a certain historical background which is conducive to professors, and their location. We feel that we can have the finest type of professional instruction as available anywhere in the country. We have a tremendous reservoir which to draw. Now, one of the most important task that we have to undertake was the selection of the man who was going to be director of George Mason College of the University of Virginia. We thought we had to have a man who was extremely well-rounded, a man who had had a tremendous experience in the educational fields, a man who understood the problems of a two-year college, a man who understood students, who had experience in teaching, who was well-versed in international affairs. Because of the community we have immediately adjacent to the nation's capital. And after a two-year search, we came up with the present director of the college. In Dr. Robert Reed, we feel we have a man who measures up in every way to the very difficult yardstick that we laid down. He received his B.S. From New York University in education, his M.A. and Ph. From Columbia University Graduate School. He has spent some 9 years in the National Educational Association. He's taught in the classroom. He comes to us as the former dean of Kendall College, which was a two-year liberal arts college. So that he is thoroughly familiar with the problems and the programs which we will be confronted. And since I've had an opportunity to become acquainted with him, I can assure you, as far as I'm concerned, I think the committee that selected him did an outstanding job. It's my great pleasure this morning to present to you Dr. Robert H. Reed, who probably will give you some remarks in regard to his plans and his aspirations. I'm sure he feels it's a great challenge, as do we all. So at this time, Dr. Reed.
Thank you, Senator Fenwick, Rector of the University of Virginia, and Mayor Wood, who made this possible. I see it's about 12 minutes of 12. We have several plans for you people. A brief press conference, questions, a bite to eat, and then an informal ride out about several hundred yards to the site, which is just down the road to our south. I'm very happy to be here because I think I've taken hold of the most exciting and challenging opportunity in higher education in the whole country, perhaps the whole world. There are very few frontiers in American higher education that haven't been thoroughly explored, and the number of colleges is growing at such a rate that you'd have to check the census to find out whether it's 2,143 or 2,154, and I'm not including those that I characterize in a book as degree mills at all. I want to point out several things to you, if you'll allow me in a brief moment. The greater Washington area is, especially on the Northern Virginia side, one of the few underdeveloped areas in higher education left in this whole country. If any of you know another major city in the United States with 500,000 population, much less the capital city of the nation, that has not, at this moment, a technical vocational institute, several junior colleges, one or two four-year colleges, a teacher training institution, and a university or two, I wish you'd come up after this is over and tell me about it. I've been unable to discover one from Portland, Maine to La Jolla, California, and nowhere in the Midwest is this true. This is a remarkable phenomenon. If you remember that the idea for a great university of the United States first came into being in 1775 when Benjamin Rush had the idea for the University of the United States, which he sold to George Washington and in turn to Thomas Jefferson, and they in turn to James Madison and Monroe, and 150 or more years have passed, and this area south of the Potomac River still does not have a first-rate major college. I should point out to you an interesting phenomenon about this on this map, which you can't see much of, but if you remember the state of Virginia, it looks like the old shoe that the mother used, and up in the stocking area where the boot comes in is the area we're talking about. And if you can imagine in your mind's eye this state and your geography and your travels, you must go south 52 miles to Mary Washington College of the University of Virginia before you find your first college south of the Lincoln Memorial and the Kennedy Memorial. And if you sweep your eye westward from that southern point of Fredericksburg, you have to come all the way around to Winchester, which is some 75 miles from the nation's capital, to find Little Shenandoah College, which is now beginning to move in with its music program and with a limited student body. There is one college in this area. It is Marymount Junior College, a Roman Catholic girls' institution. It handles about 400 students now. It may expand a little more, but by no stretch of the imagination would the Mother Margella Berg, who runs that, ever tell you that it was designed to fill the needs of Northern Virginia in higher education. Now, I am fully aware that all of you are thinking right this minute of the institutions in the District of Columbia, and there are a number of them and some very fine ones. And if you sweep over the Potomac River, it's very easy to do now over Cabin John Bridge, which makes Wisconsin Avenue, Bethesda, 20 minutes from our Fairfax site. You have to go all the way to Frederick for Hood College, all the way to Baltimore for Goucher College, and there is the University of Maryland, to which we are now closer to the Potomac, Maryland towns than the University of Maryland is. And then you go all the way out to the Eastern Shore before you find some more college opportunities. Now this area, which we're coming into for the first time really with our new buildings, is a rather remarkable area. It already has 750,000 people. High-level people. If you've been reading your statistics in your own newspapers, you know that Fairfax County is the fastest-growing county in America. 7% rate, almost double the nearest fastest-growing community. And we hope to serve not only Fairfax County, but five other counties. Arlington, Alexandria, Loudoun, Prince William, Fairfax, and Fauquier. All of them are now within our province with the circumferential parkways and the belt parkways, and I suspect that even though we've made no plans for that, that a lot of youngsters from the Maryland side of the Potomac will find it easier to come to us for several reasons I'll mention in a moment than it will be to go downtown to Washington or out to the University of Maryland or perhaps away to college. The baby boom has just about arrived in America, and the 1 million people who live in those six counties are highly oriented toward education themselves. They are, for simplicity, divided in my mind into two groups. University of Virginia alumni, of which there are many and proud, and some very distinguished ones in Northern Virginia, and what I call non-University of Virginia alumni, people who are graduates of colleges all over America, who by happenstance and for a variety of reasons are living in Northern Virginia. And they are just as equally oriented to the need for a college in this area, a need that we hope to meet finally some 180 years after Benjamin Rush had the idea. I suspect I don't have to say anything about the need for a college in this area, and if I do, you're going to ask me questions about it, but let me tell you something about George Mason College. The first four buildings, which will be completed this summer, are in front of you on this drawing, and the first of those buildings, the one that appears to your eye on the east, will be finished June 1. And these are the buildings we hope you'll come down and see less than 200, 300 yards from here where the entrance is. The second building, the west building, will be finished before the end of the month of June. And the north building, the administration building, should be finished with the south building where we hope to have our dining facilities by August 5th, which is the cutoff date for the architect's penalty clause arrangement with us. And we're going to move in as rapidly as we can and out of our temporary headquarters where we have been making do with 150 students, and we suspect that the growth cycle here will be perhaps a little faster than the growth cycle at Charlottesville when Mr. Jefferson planned the University of Virginia in 1850. Virginia has had a great tradition in higher education. Since the founding of the second university in America, William and Mary, in 1693, followed less than about 100 years later by the University of Virginia in 1815. We hope to live up to that tradition. We are, as of this moment, offering the first 2 years of arts and sciences of the program developed over those 150 years at the University of Virginia in their college. We have, at the present moment, tracks for students in liberal arts and engineering, and if they wish to, we can help them prepare to go on to the School of Commerce, the School of Nursing, the School of Education, the School of Law. The question is sometimes brought up as to where we're going in higher education, and the answer I have at this moment is that I really don't know, but I suspect that with an audience of 1 million people, the greatest single audience left in higher education in America today, that there are several avenues open to us if we build a first-rate college, whatever it becomes, and if we build carefully with the kind of faculty, student body, buildings, operation that I think we want, that I suspect that our several communities also want and need. We are coeducational. In addition to offering the first 2 years as part of the University of Virginia, we take every opportunity to serve our various communities as they now are, but we already have students from out of state. Our tuition might interest you. It is at present on a semester hour level, $11 a semester hour. The average student takes 30 hours of work in a year. Your arithmetic is good enough to know that that's a little over $300. With the extra fees and all, it's still one of the remarkable bargains in American higher education today. And don't hold me to how long we'll be able to sustain it, but it certainly is a better rate than you can get anywhere in the greater Washington area. I don't want to say too much about our curriculum, except to remind you that it was planned with the University of Virginia, that all our courses are equal to, at the moment, those given in the first 2 years at the university, that our professors are selected on the same basis and with the advice and consent of the University of Virginia, and our students must meet admissions requirements which are jointly worked out with the University of Virginia. I should say also that we have several non-educational features that I find are even more important than announcing tomorrow that Edward R. Murrow has joined our staff, to take one name out of the bright blue. We are air-conditioned. The first state institutions, I understand from Senator Fenwick and others, to be so air-conditioned in the whole history of the state of Virginia. That raises the question as to when we're going to run a summer session. Not this year. We'll be moving this summer, but next year for sure. We also have a parking space as of now, or very shortly thereafter, of 463
parking spaces for cars, individual cars, and we have planned ahead for 2,500 parking spaces. And I say, with, in all humility, no other college in the Washington area can make that statement. In fact, when I told Tom Carroll this, he said, I can't even get a parking space down at GW, and I'm the president. I should point out to you, too, that those who are car conscious, and what youth isn't, can get to our campus and park a lot easier than to some other campuses in this area. We feel we're coming into a new era in the state of Northern Virginia, and especially in the history of Northern Virginia. We feel that we have a contribution to make. We feel we have a great challenge, and we feel that we need your help to get the message out that we are not the best-kept secret in Northern Virginia, and that from then on, the world is, in effect, Northern Virginia's oyster in higher education. Thank you very much. If there are any questions, I'll be glad to answer them, or try to anyway. I should tell you, too, there is a press kit with a good deal of the information that you may want in detail about admissions requirements, the site, the buildings, and the opportunities that are here.
Yes, sir.
Would you identify yourself, please?
Yes, sir. I'm Lon Tuck from Washington Post. How many students are going to have first year?
I wish I could give you the answer. Our aim is to have an eye-catching 500. We could easily handle that, or even 750. But we may be a little late in the game this spring to do that. If you give us the kind of support we hope you will, it might make the difference, because a lot of parents have been calling me up about Johnny, who was rejected at Dartmouth, and maybe we can help them out. But we certainly could handle 500, and unlike the 20% of the colleges in America which have a quota on their freshman classes, and by the way, 80% of all the students in America apply to those 20% of the colleges, we have no quota on the minimum or even maximum number we'll take. We'll take as many as we can get, simply because we feel we can find the professorial help on a part-time basis in this area, which is fantastic when you think of the kinds of people with PhDs in all fields that want to get back into teaching. I sit in my office and look over papers like that a dozen a day. So we're ready to take as many as we can get to meet our admissions requirements.
Are you going to teach both freshmen and sophomores next year?
Yes, but it's a little harder to get in if you come from another college to us. Actually, a George Mason College student who wants to go on to the University of Virginia has a choice and needs to make a slightly lower average than a Harvard student who wants to come to George Mason because he wants to go on to the University of Virginia. This is to protect ourselves, in a sense, from shopper-arounders in higher education, of whom there are many. So we're taking them.
Dr. Reed, I might just make this observation, that this branch college is a part of a overall plan of the state of Virginia. In other words, this is only one of a great many branch, two-year, non-dormitory type of institutions that are being formulated in the state. The concept of being able to get a high type of education at a low cost in the community is a compelling reason for this type of institution. We think that the instructional level will be just as high here, and this is our objective, as you get at the University of Virginia, its parent college. Some people express doubt as to that for this reason. They think that you have to have a great university with graduate schools and so forth.